happy Mother's Day. Justine said, you know, there may not, all of us may not be a mother. I happen to be a mom. But that word can embody any female that takes on that role. It can also be any male that can take on that role that may have to step in if they are a widow or a widower. So it's important, and I felt led to acknowledge that today because there are some of us who don't have our mothers right now, who maybe only had a father. And that, I'm sure that leaves a hole. It doesn't matter how young you were. That is something important that we have in our lives. And ladies, as we know, whenever you give birth to a child, your entire world flips upside down. I told Alora this morning that that was one of the most precious moments of my entire life. One of the most important was whenever she was placed into my arms, because that changes your world, totally flips it upside down in more ways than one. So we want to honor our mothers today, no matter who that may be, whether it's our mom, like my mom, Diane, or others that have touched our lives. I have a lot of aunts that are like other mothers. So I was blessed to have that. I'm sure all of you probably have somebody in your lives as well. today, I was going to read, well, let me read something funny real quick. I'm going to start off with something funny, if I can find it in my stack of stuff. And then I'm going to get a little serious on you, because I feel that what I have for you today is extremely important. So I'm going to talk to you for a moment about a crocodile farm. When a group of tourists visited a crocodile farm, the owner of the place launched a bold proposal. Whoever dares to jump, swim to the coast, and survive, I'll give you $1 million. No one moved. But then suddenly a man jumped into the water, a man, of course, and desperately swam to shore, while being chased by all the crocodiles. With enormous luck came, taking everyone's admiration at the scene, then the owner announced, "We have a brave winner." After collecting his reward, the couple returned to the hotel. Upon arrival, the manager told him he was very brave to jump. Then the man said, "I didn't jump. Someone pushed me." His wife smiled. The moral is, behind every successful man, there's a woman who pushes him. Amen to that. I can really go on and on about that right now, especially with the condition I'm in, but I'm not going to go there. He's not here to stand up for himself. Speaking of pushing him. Okay. I have a lot of papers here, and I have to go back and forth to this accoutrement chair. So I'm going to talk to you today about two lions of the faith. They're not men. I chose two ladies because it's Mother's Day. Okay. One is from the book of Judges, and the other was born on February 24th, 1902, in London. And I am going to get emotional a touch because I happened to stumble upon the second individual by accident. And I have never been so affected by another human being's life that exemplifies everything that I would want to be than this lady. And we'll talk about her a little bit later. Deborah, who is a very strong woman of the book of Judges. She was a prophetess, a mother, a wife, and a judge. Now, in that time, this is Old Testament, Judges. A judge is not what you think of with a gavel at the, whatever that, what's it, what, desk, pulpit, whatever you want to call it, you know, cranking out orders. A judge at that time was somebody that people would go to seek counsel. So women, children, adults, Deborah would sit under the palm of Deborah, which was a palm tree, and she would sit there, and as people came, she would give counsel, wise counsel to them. There are some conflicting ideas that she wasn't, there wasn't anybody else, so that's why she was chosen for the position, but in my heart of hearts, I believe she was chosen by God to be in the position that she was in. At that time, women were not in a position of authority in that time. And in the days of Judges, it was during a season of upheaval, violence, and moral outrage. It kind of sounds like today a little. So to connect that to today, what I want to get across to you is we need to be a little more like Deborah, ladies. Now, we all have a different calling. There's a book. It's a great book called The Deborah Anointing. If you're like me and you have a lion fire in your blood, you're going to really resonate with Deborah. So that's why we're talking about her today. Okay, Susan, Judges 4:14-16. I'm just going to read it from, I'm going to read it from that. It's easier. And Deborah said unto Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which Jehovah hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not Jehovah gone out before thee?" So Barak went down from Mount, I think it's Tabor, excuse me. All these words are a little wild. And 10,000 men after him. So the Lord used Deborah to deliver a message to the people. Barak was like her, like a secondhand man kind of person. And through Barak, they facilitated this word, and God helped save Israel through Deborah. She gave the word. She worked for God. God gave her everything that she needed to deliver the word. They won. Her confidence came from God. He chose her. He worked through her. We need to be those vessels where he's working through us. We need to have the confidence to realize that we are chosen from birth to work alongside him. Luke 12:48 says, you don't have to put that up. I thought you were Susan, it's Allison, okay? "For those who have received a greater revelation from the Master are required a greater obedience. And those who have been entrusted with great responsibility will be held more responsible." If you have that calling and you're doing this all the time, ooh, you better get it together because you're going to be used, I'm telling you, in more ways than you may think. We have to steward the life that he gives us. We have to steward it. That means we have to work alongside him and be that example. Deborah had the spirit of might. How many of you, and it doesn't matter if you're a lady or a man, how many of you just like what that sounds like? I do. The spirit of might, it sounds like you're strong and powerful. What that means is it's military strength, power, and a force to carry out a strategy for the Lord. He's sovereign and he leads through us. We want that power of might. I don't know anybody that wants to sit back and say, no. Not me. If that stirs you at all when I say that, I promise you, you would resonate with Deborah. Deborah's word was an instrument of war. She acknowledged the source of victory, heard and perceived his word. She made a bold proclamation, causing an entire system of idolatry and oppression, that spirit, to fall. That area during this time was nothing but chaos. With that victory, all that was destroyed, and she had all those hearts flipped and turned to God in that time frame with her spirit of might. So, and I could honestly sit here and do an entire couple Sundays on just Deborah. But I do want to switch gears a little bit, and I may go back to Deborah just because I really want to talk to you about the other individual. So if we could put up the picture of Gladys and the orphan, please. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a picture of just her. One more. Right here. And we're just going to leave that one up. Okay. I don't know this lady. Okay. But I stumbled across her and I wanted to try to find out as much as I possibly could, because she has been, in the last probably 5 months, has set such an example, a strong example of somebody that I want to be more like. This is another lion of the faith. Her name is Gladys Isleward. and her nickname was Little Woman. She was little tiny in stature. She was born February of 1902, I believe. Thanks. She was born in a Christian household. She was raised by a Christian family, but she didn't feel that she had a real calling on her life. They were very poor. She had no money. Gladys didn't have a real, like, avenue for success. She didn't have that any opportunities. And at the time of 18, she was drawn to a little service. It was a revival service, okay, that changed her entire life. So during that service, she went to the altar, and it was a service where they talked a little bit about missions trips, which she didn't even know what those were. They talked about some different countries. She had no idea where to even find them on a map. China happened to be one of them. She didn't know where that was. She didn't know how to get there from where she was. But she felt, because she picked up a magazine that had some images of China, that that's where she felt she needed to go. Now, keep in mind, she had no money. It cost a lot of money to get ship fare to go to China. And everyone thought she was absolutely out of her mind. You see where I'm going with this. Gladys felt a burden for the lost around the world. And she was very intrigued by China. She knew nothing about it. She didn't have the resources, the education, like I said. Her family and friends said no. Yet as she sought God, he told her something different. So she saved up enough money to present her money to these people of this missions board in London. And she was rejected by them. It's not that she didn't have enough money. It's that she did not speak the language. I mean, she had no clue what she was even getting herself into. I'm very ignorant, you know, as far as that goes. But she persevered. So tirelessly, she persevered. And this, I'm going to read you something straight from her. These are quotes. As she was persevering, she stumbled across, this is a little bit of her testimony, the book of Nehemiah. As I read the first chapter, I felt very sorry for Nehemiah and understood why he wept and mourned when he heard about Jerusalem and its great need and could do nothing about it. He was a sort of butler and had to obey his employer just like I did. Then I turned to the second chapter, and it said, "But he did go," I exclaimed aloud, and got up. A strange elation within me. He went in spite of everything. As if someone was in the room, a voice said clearly, "Gladys Aylward, is Nehemiah's God your God?" "Yes, of course," I replied. "Then do what Nehemiah did and go." "But I am not Nehemiah." "No, but assuredly, I am his God." And that settled everything for me. I believed these were my marching orders. I put my Bible on the bed beside it, my copy of Daily Light, and at the side of all that, all of the money that I had, a small handful of coins, with a ridiculous little collection it seemed, but I said simply, "Oh God, here's the Bible about which I long to tell others. Here's my Daily Light that every day will give me a new promise. And here is all the money that I have. If you want me, I am ready to go to China with these." After today, I encourage you to look up her testimony. It's amazing listening to her tell it. She's a little fireball. Bless her heart. She's no longer with us. She's gone on to heaven. But you're going to talk about a fire. She was it. Working tirelessly, Gladys saved every penny. Over the next year, she saved enough for a train ticket to China. A train ticket to China. No thanks. There were warnings. She was given many warnings not to get on the train to China because they had to go through Russia. And it was dangerous territory. I mean, she could lose her life. It was a train that had soldiers on it. And she was one woman, I think the only woman on the train. Yet she saw beyond the obstacles. She kept her eyes fixed on the faithfulness of her God, just like Nehemiah. One thing I admire about her is that she was never, ever bullied by fear. It didn't matter how tall she was. It didn't matter how sick she was or weak she was. She pushed on. Moms, I know you can that resonates with you right now as I say that, because it doesn't matter if we're laying on the bathroom floor. If, mom, we have to crawl on out of there and get whatever they need. You can't hide from them, that's for sure. The enemy tried to thwart her the entire way. She was detained by corrupt government officials on the train. And she was put in her own room. And while she was in there, because she was thinking about how can I escape this? What can I do? Just then, an officer barged in. She said, this is in quotes too, because this is in the book. She said to him, this is just hilarious, "You're not coming in here." "Why not?" he smirked. "Because this is my bedroom." And he said, "I'm the master and I can do with you what I wish." "Oh no, you cannot. You may not believe in God, but he's in here with me. Touch me and see. Between you and me, God has put a barrier. Go!" The man stared at Gladys, shivered, and without another word, turned around and left. I just so admire that. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall, because when you hear her speak, I have a couple of vintage sermons of hers. She's funny, and she has an accent, so that makes it even funnier. But she could not be stopped. Now, fast forward a little bit, she ended up in China. And there was a woman that was already in China that accepted her to come into the home that she started an inn for orphan children, and that woman's name was Jenny Lawson. Jenny Lawson had a fall, an accident, while Gladys was there in China, and Gladys took over the inn herself. There was one day that Gladys was summoned. She had made herself known, and it's called Yangchen in China. It was a very corrupt area. Foreigners were not very accepted, but they had gotten to know her. She was called the Little Woman, and she was highly regarded and highly respected. There was a day that a government official approached her and they said, "Hurry quick, you have to come to the prison. A riot has broken out." Now, how many of you would go run into this prison? I know I would really have to think about that. But when she arrived, she found that the convicts were rampaging in the prison courtyard and several of them had been killed. The soldiers were terrified to intervene, and the warden of the prison told her to go into the courtyard and stop the rioting. She said, "How in the world can I do that?" He said to her, "You have been preaching that those who trust in Christ have nothing to fear." As soon as he said that, that settled it for her, and she boldly entered the courtyard, asking her God for strength and protection. She's standing in the middle of these people that are killing each other. And here's what she said. She said, "Stop." And they still continue. She said, "Stop. Can you hear me? I said to stop the rioting." Guess what happened? They stopped. They stopped the bloodshed. She stopped the bloodshed. She commanded the men to return to their cells. They obeyed. She advocated on behalf of the prisoners' conditions. She was actually more furious at the people that ran the prison, because their conditions were so deplorable that after she stopped the riot where people were dead, she went and reamed out the people that ran the prison and said, "You need to make it better in here. This is why they're rioting. This is why they're doing it." During her many years in China, she accomplished feats that are usually only heard of in fictional action movies or spy novels. She has narrowly escaped death multitudes and multitudes of times. The people there would bring babies to her doorstep. There were hundreds of children. We can put up that image, Susan, of the kids that were entrusted in her care. She even was asked to go around, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but in China during this time, they practiced something called foot binding. And that's when a baby girl was born, they would bind the feet to wear whatever those shoes are. I don't know what they're called. Sorry, but it was excruciating. It would be child abuse. It is child abuse. But that was part of their tradition. And she was supposed to go around and advocate for this foot binding, and instead she did the opposite. It was unbinding of the feet for Gladys. So she became very widely known, and they called her Iwade, which I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but it just means virtuous one. So as she's taking all of these, she's going through all of these different seasons, she doesn't back down. She continues to work as a steward of his glory. I don't know that she even realized, even until her death, the impact that she had. She never married and she never had children of her own, but Gladys was a mother to hundreds and hundreds of orphans. And I'm going to get ready to tell you a little bit more about her in a moment. It's probably my most favorite thing that just exemplifies what this lady stands for. But can you imagine having this much confidence in the promise that he will protect us to walk into a rioting prison on your own, by yourself, and just shout out, "Stop!" That little lady that was up on the screen, "Stop what you're doing," and they listened. Not just hoping that God would come through, but she knew. She never cowered in fear when the enemy tried to attack her, but instead she rose up in the strength of God and trampled anything else. It just was under her feet. Only someone that truly believes with her whole heart can walk in that boldness. When you leave here today, I want you to have more of a grasp on that boldness, because this is a new season. I know, I think I've probably said that every time I've spoken, but it is a new time for all of us. We're going to see things happen in these days that are coming ahead that we've never experienced in our lives. The revivals, the restoration and the revivals that were once, had been, they were wonderful and glory-filled, but we're taking it another step further. It's going to repeat, but it's going to repeat in such, I can't even put it into words. I just know. When Gladys studied God's word, she didn't analyze or question anything. Everything that was put in scripture, she took as fact. And I respect that as well. While many Christians succumb to spiritual apathy because of our weakness, our tiredness, lack of stamina, she was the opposite. Though she was not physically strong and small in stature, she knew that she was called to perform mighty exploits for his kingdom, and that he would provide every bit of strength and stamina needed for the task. We can put up the last image with her. I'm going to read about that. You don't have to read the words, but you can see her stature there in that picture. She didn't allow her physical weakness to control her decisions. And when war broke out in her village that she lived in, keep in mind she had all the orphans, she gathered up those kids, all of them, hundreds of them. With no food, no provisions, over mountain passes by herself. ...240 miles they walked. None of those kids died. When she got to her destination, she collapsed. The journey completely took her over. She was suffering from pneumonia, typhus, and several other serious illnesses. She willingly sacrificed her body to get those children to safety for the glory of God. And like Paul, she made her physical body her servant in order to victoriously fulfill the call of God upon her life. Because she trusted God, and she knew that she had to take him at his word, that his word proves faithful. It proves true every single time. It does not fail. it does not return void. We don't have the right to doubt, although we do as humans. Look at this picture of these two ladies. Because she was willing, even though she had all of those things, she didn't die when she returned the children to safety. She lived for several more years. She died because of the strain that put on her body. Ultimately, that was the cause of her death, yes. But she was willing to sacrifice her life for God and for those kids. That speaks volumes to me. And I admire her for that. And as I was sitting here and just worshiping, I knew that I had to try to tell her story the best that I could, to try to do her justice, because I felt that, you know, strongly in my heart that her life would touch yours today in some capacity. When I was talking about Gladys, I don't want you to think that means everybody has to get up and go get a train ticket to another country. What I was telling you that story for is because I want you to understand that it doesn't matter what situation you came out of. We're going to talk about the situation you're coming into, and that is to be a steward in the kingdom. Now, I believe that my job is to help you see how that's going to go. So that's why I told you the story of Deborah, and I told you the story of Gladys. I've been there where you feel like you're not adequate enough, or there's something that isn't enough, or you're not doing enough. How can you do more? What can you do? I'm going to tell you what you can do, and what that is this. Just do it. Stop thinking about if it's okay or not. If you feel led to do something, say something, pray for somebody, release something to somebody, give them a word, wait for the right time, pray about it, and then move it right along and do it. That's the season that we're in right now. Do what your heart is being led to do by our Heavenly Father. I just feel in my heart right now that there is that spirit of inadequacy. It's present. So, and I don't know who you are, but it's more than one person. And it's a daily struggle. It's not just a fleeting thing. It's all the time. Or you're questioning all the time. Did you do that right? And I'm talking about little decisions. I'm talking about big things. I'm talking about things that have to do with your spiritual life. In the name of Jesus right now, that is gone and done. It's over. Let that lift off of you and take a deep breath. Right now, what I'm sensing is that we need to just sit and abide in His presence right now. Breathe in and out His presence, because it's here. It's always with us, but it's here right now. We want to be vessels. We want to be new vessels, a new wineskin for you. Fill us, Lord, with your presence, with your wisdom, with your strength. We were designed in your image to exemplify you. We were designed in your image. That means we are like you. We need to learn to walk like you, to talk like you. And you're never too young. Babies, toddlers, children. We're about to see the children being used in a different way as well. They're going to lay hands and pray, and people are going to be healed. They're going to be used in mighty ways. The children that are coming now, that are being born now, not that the other ones are not going to be used in mighty ways, but these are going to be different. This is different. This is a different season. If you are comfortable, this is what I'm feeling led to do. So if you're comfortable, and I can't stand up, so you have to come to me. But if you are, I don't know, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, I'm going to open it up to everybody, but if you feel that you want more of this drive and this strength and that little bit of a fire, you want a better connection with our Lord, if you want to come closer to me, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just doing what my heart's telling me to do right now, what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. I'm going to pray for you. The other thing I want to tell you is, as ladies and as men of God, we don't have to have a long list of qualifications. We just have to be immovable, unshakable, rock solid with our faith. And with that, I believe that we can do wonderful, mighty, powerful, great things. So, a couple of things. One is, I am fully confident in the words that I'm about to tell you. One is, arise from inaction. Arise from inaction. That's playing over and over in my head. We have definitely taken a step in the right direction. We have to go further into those steps in following him. Arise from inaction. That means it's now. It is today. It's not yesterday or the day before. The things of that time, they don't matter. This is your time. It's now. I'm going to actually read a prayer to you, and then I think I'm being led to do something else. But let me just read this, and we'll go from there. Lord, I pray that you will awaken me to the call that you have for my life. Remove any bondage of fear from my heart and mind. Let your wisdom and courage rest upon me. Awaken me from slumber. Let me walk circumspectly in this hour. I loose myself from passivity and apathy. Let me be alert to your voice. Let me be aware of your purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you are an extraordinary God and you will accomplish extraordinary things through me. I release myself from self-imposed limitations. I break every limitation that the enemy has placed upon my life and has kept me from meeting my full potential. No longer will I be deceived and trapped by the traditions and opinions of others, for I was created for greatness. I was created to be God's glory carrier throughout the earth. I will arise and be radiant with the glory of the Lord. I will be a beaming lighthouse of hope for all who sit in darkness. Lord, give me words of wisdom that will guide and influence many. I will not, I refuse to stay silent. I break every conspiracy designed to keep me silent. I won't allow it or let past disappointments and failures keep me quiet. I will open my mouth wide and you will fill it. God, give me ideas and insight and concepts to bring deliverance to many. You have anointed me to impart grace and love to those in my sphere of influence. The words that I speak will release life to a hurting generation. I am not here by chance. I'm not reading this by chance. I stir this up and activate it through this prayer and declaration in the name of Jesus. Amen.